Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, Gil Martin here. Glad to be with you, as always, on the Monday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. We want to thank everybody for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. We've got three great guests for you on today's show. We have Erica Ayala of Locked On Kraken to discuss the first ever home game in Seattle Kraken history. Then we'll be joined by Jess Belmasto of Locked On Calgary Flames as she talks about her team's turnaround after a little bit of a slow start. And John Chick of Locked On New York Rangers joins us as he discusses his team's four-game winning streak, the hot play of Chris Kreider, and what his team is looking like after overcoming a shaky start in their first two games this year. First up, Erica Ayala of Locked On Kraken. All right, Gil Martin here. So glad you could join us for the Monday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. And great to have Erica Ayala with me. She is the host of Locked On Kraken, among other great shows that she does for the network. And Erica, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Gil. Thanks for having me. And I'm repping the New York Metropolitans today with my hat choice going back to Shea Stadium.
Oh, I love it. I love it. A lot of great memories I had at Shea. So absolutely. Absolutely. So a lot of firsts this weekend in Seattle. Let's start with this. What was the atmosphere like in that building? So much buildup to this moment, franchise waiting years to finally have that first real home game. Tell me about what it was like.
Sure thing. Well, sadly, my setup's a little different. I'm in the middle of a move, so I wasn't able to be in Seattle, but I touched base with a lot of insiders, a lot of beat reporters, and obviously, there was a lot of excitement, but also it was kind of funny to hear the players talk about, you know, they didn't get as many skates as I thought they would at Climate Pledge Arena. They had one practice and then morning skate. And so everything from the logistics of where the players were supposed to park to kind of joking around that they'd need folks to help them if they got turned around in the arena. So it definitely was a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, overall good, but definitely still very new.
No question about that. And you know, I saw some of the pregame festivities and that atmosphere seemed electric. You had a great national anthem. And I mean, just, you know, everyone was so psyched up for this moment.
Indeed. And we also saw one of the festivities included that the Seattle Kraken franchise retired their first ever jersey number, and that is the number 32. They are the 32nd franchise. It was 32,000 fans that made a deposit within the first 10 minutes of the franchise to even make the Seattle Kraken possible. I know some people were clowning it as like a weird reason to retire a number, but I think it fits perfectly with this franchise being privately funded, always having fan engagement, and really making sure as much as possible that they're involving what they consider their catchment area in the Pacific Northwest. So I was all about it. I'm here for it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a nice little touch. And you know what? When the very first thing you do before your first home game in part honors the fans, you got to love that attitude for a franchise to have.
Absolutely. There are worse things to do to show your appreciation for your fans, including, you know, well, we don't have to get into examples that we already have across all kinds of franchises, across all kinds of sports. So, yeah, absolutely. I was loving it.
The first goal coming late in that first period and the place went nuts. I mean, it was just an electric moment. Talk me through it.
So it was from the blue line. Actually, both goals on the night came from the blue line, and it was Vince Dunn And Vince, Stanley Cup champion, of course, with the St. Louis Blues, has already been able to make an impact here. But the Seattle Kraken had just come off of a power play. It wasn't a power play goal, but they were able to keep that momentum buzzing. And yes, it was just as the period was ending. So it was so loud, though, that the excitement, one of the things that I was really excited about, Gil, was I had heard the goal song in preseason when I was in Seattle. And there had been some teasing as to what that was going to be like. If anyone's listened to Locked on Kraken, you know, I spilled the beans, Lithium from Nirvana, of course. And you couldn't even hear it. That's how loud both times the Seattle Kraken scored. I don't know if anyone that was actually in that arena paid attention to the goal song, even if they tried, because the crowd was so loud.
They may not have even played it. No one would be able to tell.
Exactly. But one of my colleagues on the beat, Ryan S. Clark, I knew he was working on a story. He's a writer for The Athletic. So if you want to know the story behind the goal song and the goal horn, which, again, really couldn't hear it. So I'm looking forward to my first Kraken game where I get to experience that regular season Kraken game, because they did have the goal song in the preseason, not the goal horn, but the goal song.
All right. So it's been a few games. First win is under your belt, but give me your early assessment of this team and what they've looked like now that they've finally officially hit the ice.
Yeah, and on today's show on Locked on Kraken, we're breaking this down. You know, as you mentioned, lots of firsts, with save for, you know, first home win and, of course, the first playoff game, and maybe some that will go beyond that. But we're almost, you know, past the honeymoon phase. And so my assessment is just about what I expected for the Kraken. I mentioned that Vince Dunn was one of two defensemen. The other is none other than the captain, Mark Giordano, to score. But that was it. It was a 4-2 loss to the Vancouver Canucks that a lot of people think will be our immediate rivals. And I think yesterday probably, Saturday's game probably had us on par for that. So I think my assessment is that the defense is the portion of the team that we thought was going to be most solid. We already see the defense being able to get up into the run of play offensively. But what I will say is that I have some concerns about the defense pinching a little bit too much. And sometimes you see that the Seattle Kraken, who loves to be on the forecheck, loves to be aggressive, and you're hearing that Dave Haxtell is not thrilled with how the team is kind of just allowing other teams to really get out in transition. And that might be because the defense is maybe a little too focused on being a part of the offense. So I'd like to see them maybe hunker down and find that balance a little bit. I think also we're seeing that some of the forwards are just not really finding their groove. Now, I will say that the lines have been changed up when we played the Devils and then again before the home game. Some of that is because we're finally getting people like Kalle Järnkrok out of COVID protocol. We got Yanni Gourde. Saturday's game was only his second game coming back after off-season surgery. So there's a few reasons that the lines are being shaken up. But now any of that chemistry, which is so important to this brand new franchise, any of that chemistry that was built in the preseason and in training camp, essentially you're starting all over again. And I think that's what we're seeing now with a team dropping four games. They have one win and then that overtime game. So they're struggling for points right now. About what I expected, for different reasons, I'll say. I didn't expect it to go down like this. Five players in COVID protocol, Chris Drieger out with an injury. So Joey Decord coming up from the Charlotte Checkers, who is the AHL affiliate for us this year. So it's about what I expected, but not in the way that I expected.
Well, that's why they play the games, right?
Indeed. So I think the turnaround is going to be building more chemistry. They finally will have a stretch of home games, which also means practice. And that's going to be integral for this team, again, as they're building chemistry. But even with that aside, and I'm willing to give them grace, even through the end of next month, end of November, but I think that there are some mistakes that they're making. Mark Giordano, I mentioned him, Captain Kraken, if you will. You know, he has mentioned a few times now that it might be just kind of what we would say, you're gripping the stick a little too hard, maybe trying a little too hard as opposed to, letting things flow. And I think there's probably something to that. this team knows all eyes on them right now, for better or worse. And I'm hoping now that a lot of the firsts are out of the way, that they just settle into the game, because now all the fanfare, for the most part, is going to start to diminish. And now they're going to be judged on what they do on the ice.
Absolutely. Still waiting for that first hat trick and that first home win and that first winning streak. Correct. But that'll all come with time.
Indeed, indeed. And we'll celebrate that. But I hope for the sake of the players and for, I'm sure, the diehard fans, that they find their flow in a little bit quicker than they have been. And again, there's just some mistakes that they've been making that you want to clean up. You want to see them clean up. While it's understandable, it gets to a point where it's going to be frustrating for them. And so hopefully they can get over that hump. A few more practices. They did not practice on Sunday. They'll be back on the ice today in practice. But I think it's going to, I'm not surprised, but I think now is the time. Now that they're at home, it's the right time for them to really start buckling down and turn this thing around.
All right, we'll keep an eye on them. And Erica, thank you so much. And why don't you tell our listeners where they could find you on social media and where they could find your podcasts? I'll let you plug them all.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, of course, head over to Locked On Kraken, just like everything else on the Locked On Podcast Network, free for you everywhere you listen to podcasts. And we're also on YouTube. And this week, I mentioned that I have a move going on, so my wall's a little more barren, but still got the Fear the Deep poster. Still got to have that up there. But so we have some great interviews, including the woman. Her name is Sharon Williams. She actually narrated the intro video that they played for expansion draft. And that's exciting. We also have the scout Blake Bolden for the LA Kings, but is a pioneer and obviously knows the Pacific Division very well. So those are some of the interviews that you can expect over on YouTube and anywhere you can find Locked On Kraken, any podcast platform that you got.
All right, Eric Ayala, always a pleasure to talk to you. Looking forward to our next conversation. And thanks, as always, for joining us here on Locked On NHL.
Thank you, Gil.
Today's episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, and you're watching sports highlights on your phone while you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and it's a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you could watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You could learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, Gil Martin here, and with me today from Locked On Flames, Jess Belmosto. And so good to have you here. Finally, we've been trying to do this for a little while, and we timed it well because your team is red hot. Tell me a little bit about this two-game winning streak and some of the surprising goal scoring you've been getting.
Honestly, I'm just so impressed with Andrew Mangiapane coming out of the gate and just red hot. 23-year-old kid who had a breakout season last year. Career high 19 goals and just looked fantastic. And then Elias Lindholm, who is the top line center, had a hat trick Saturday afternoon. And just the two of them have combined, minus empty netters, have scored 90% of the Flames' goals, which you can look at as a concerning thing, or you can be optimistic and say, hey, at least Mangiapane's scoring on the fourth line.
It's a little bit of a mixed blessing. I mean, obviously, you want to be able to spread the wealth around. You don't want to rely too much on one or two players. And yet, when they're red hot, you want to ride that hot streak.
Absolutely. And you can't really take it for granted, especially with this team. You take the wins you can get.
No doubt about that. And you know, Markstrom comes up with the shutout as well. That had to be an encouraging sign for this team, too.
Yeah, so it was actually the backup goalie that they had just acquired this offseason. It was Dan Vladar from Boston, and he just had a fantastic game, and Gaudreau hit his 500 points. It was, you know, you couldn't ask for a better game. I mean, of course, maybe a better second period, but all in all, it was they won.
That they did. And look, they're two games now into a five-game road trip. What does having a five-game road trip this early in the season do, both good and bad, for this team right now?
I think that this is a perfect time for this team to really bond and to really get to know each other. There have been a lot of new additions, and they haven't had a U.S. road trip since 2019 or very early 2020. So, you know, to have five games right off the bat, it's a great time for them to get comfortable. They, you know, they need to get to know each other, and it is a lot, but I'm just glad that it's kind of staggered and not necessarily back to back to back.
That definitely does help. Talk to me a little bit about a guy who doesn't show up a lot on the score sheet, but he's plus four right now. Noah Hanifin. What has he been doing well?
You know, I was very worried about him heading into this season because I had a feeling they were going to break him up from Chris Tanev, who is a fantastic defensive pairing. But he is just always where he needs to be, and he's kind of taken some of the younger guys under his wing, which is funny considering he's only 24, but he's been in the league so long that he's considered a vet. And it's just nice to see. I think that he is obviously recovered from his shoulder surgery pretty well. Can't complain there. I know that he spent the summer playing some summer league back home in Massachusetts. So it's really great just to see him grinding away out there.
What about Milan Lucic? How has he looked so far, and your early impressions this year on him?
Man, you know, I really want to say nice things about him, but every once in a while, he just, by every once in a while, I mean every 60 minutes, so at least once a game, he's out there doing something ridiculous, usually sending the Flames to the penalty kill, and they end up, you know, letting up a goal. So I'm hoping that this is just kind of a, oh, I'm older, I need to just kind of like shake the dust off a little bit, but time will tell.
What is the key for this team to continue this win streak and continue to be productive on the road trip? What are you looking to see?
Consistency. I think the biggest thing with this team is finding something and sticking to it. You know, when they last season, they were switching lines, they were all over the place, but it seems like that top line of Gaudreau, Lindholm, and Tkachuk are really working together. I think it's fantastic that Gaudreau's really able to assist and help make plays more than he was with Sean Monahan and whatever AHLer they wanted to put on his other wing. But I just think that staying healthy, I mean, that's an obvious answer too, but this team, once one domino falls, they all fall.
How are special teams looking so far this year, and how big of a concern are they to you at this point?
I mean, they could always be better. I'm not entirely sure why Blake Coleman isn't on power play unit, like the first power play unit, especially with Lucic out there. Excuse me. And I know that Daryl Sutter has a soft spot for Luch, but at the same time, we're here to win games. This isn't nepotism. So gonna have to figure that out. Penalty kill is always gonna be a concern, but again, gotta make do with what you got.
Looking ahead at the season, who are the leaders on this team that you feel really are the key to making everyone around them better.
Oh, absolutely, Chris Tanev. He, you know, he came over from Vancouver last year and really, I think after 10 years, and he just came over and started taking the younger guys under his wing, spending extra time with them out on the ice. A lot of the guys who seem to have found themselves bouncing back and forth between the AHL and NHL. And it was just really nice to see that. I think Markstrom is a leader, and definitely Tkachuk and Michael Backlund. I think they're both pretty good.
What kind of a reception do you think this team will get at the conclusion of this road trip? I mean, how important will it be to get more than one home game under their belt?
Oh, so the weird thing about this team is that they don't play well at home. That's one of the first things I noticed when I started covering them. They're that weird anomaly that just, they're just like, no, we play better on the road, which is very weird. But I really think that this could set the tone. I mean, it's five games. It's a decent chunk. And excuse me, they're still getting to, you know, feel each other out and get the work the kinks out. So I really think it's important. And I hope that they head back to Calgary strong and not defeated. That's for sure.
You think it's because they play a simpler game on the road? What's the reason for that disparity?
I don't know, because I think that they all obviously feed off of the fans' energy, but part of me wonders if there's not a lot of pressure away from the Saddle Dome.
Could be. Jess, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find your podcast and where they can find you on social media?
Yes. So you can find me on Locked On Calgary Flames and on the National Show on Wednesdays. And of course, you can follow me on social media at Jess Belmosto.
All right, Jess, thanks so much for doing this. Looking forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thank you.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar. You know, Built Bar has so many delicious flavors. There really is something for everyone. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. And if you don't know why, listen to this roster of permanent flavors. Coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, cookies and cream, German chocolate, my personal favorite, salted caramel, sweet and salty at the same time. How can you go wrong? And if you haven't tried all the flavors, you could order a mixed box. Well, you'll get two of each of the nine permanent flavors, so you could decide which ones you like the best. And not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they are healthy too. Check out the macros. Each bar has between 17 and 18 grams of protein, only 130 to 180 calories per bar, just 4 or 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. And Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, Gil Martin back with you here on Locked On NHL, and thanks for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms, and right now, rare that a guy who covers the Islanders gets to say this about a guy who covers the Rangers, but it's my pleasure to welcome back John Chick of Locked On New York Rangers. And John, how you doing today?
Well, Gil, I'm doing fantastic, not the least of which is due to the fact that the Rangers are 4-1-1 as opposed to last season when they started 1-4-1, had all kinds of drama with Tony D'Angelo and some other things as well. Very tumultuous season last year, and you know, not looking so great for two games this year, 0-1-1, but they go on this road trip. They win all four games. I don't know that they necessarily deserve to win all four, but here we are. It's a four-game win streak very early in the season, so I'm feeling pretty good, Gil.
Better to feel good about the winning streak that you may or may not have deserved than to feel bad about outplaying people and losing games. What was the big difference? I mean, I saw the season opener for the Rangers. They looked shaky as anything. Didn't look so great in the second game either, and now four in a row. What's been the turnaround?
I mean, you have to start with Igor Shesterkin. He's been absolutely fantastic. I realize they don't give out awards and Vezinas and things like that 5 or 6 games into the season. If they did, though, I think he'd be right up there with, you know, any goalie in hockey. I mean, I haven't seen every single game, and, you know, I don't know everybody's stat line off the top of my head, but I have a really hard time believing there are too many goalies out there that have played better than him. His lateral movement, he goes east and west just so well. He's got a great glove hand. And something that's really kind of stood out through these this four-game winning streak here, and just for reference, he played the first 3 of these wins. Alex Georgiev got the last one. But, I mean, he is so good at handling deflections. I mean, there have been some really tough deflections against the Canadiens and the Maple Leafs in particular, where, I mean, it looks like this puck is going into the back of the net, and he just adjusts at the last second. He's just never caught out of position, and he's just done an absolutely fantastic job. So I think you really have to start with Igor Shesterkin. On top of that, you know, I think it's just a case of just kind of hanging in these games. They've been tough physical games. And, Gil, I know you follow, you know, this whole league, and the Rangers' MO this offseason was to get bigger, tougher, nastier, all that good stuff. I think the Rangers did that, and I think that's kind of showing up in some of these wins here, because the Rangers have yet to play a game this season where they've scored more than 3 goals. So they're finding other ways to get it done. It starts with Igor Shesterkin, but, you know, some character, gritty wins early in the season. So if you're a Ranger fan, you have to like that, and it certainly beats last season when they started 1-4-1 as opposed to 4-1-1. So good start here.
Chris Kreider, 4 goals so far this season. He's so streaky historically. What's he doing well so far? And do you think he can get a little bit more consistent? Or is Chris Kreider what we've seen so far?
Well, coming into the season, I kind of did this series where I looked at best-case scenarios and worst-case scenarios for every player on the Rangers. And his was actually one of the easiest to put together because, to your point, Gil, we know by now, I mean, he's 30 years old. I get the feeling that it's always kind of going to be like this. He's just streaky. When he gets on one of his hot streaks like he is right now, he can be as good or better than any player in the NHL. I mean, he could really be an elite player. And then he has these stretches where you barely notice him. This season, all of his goals, I think all 4 of them, at least 3, if not all 4, have come on tip-in goals from the front of the net. I mean, he does such a great job when the Rangers are on the power play. And the power play has really struggled this season. I believe now, let me think, they are now 3-for-24 on the power play. All 3 of the power play goals have been a result of Chris Kreider tip-in goals. So, yeah, I mean, that's just kind of what he brings to the table. He's going to be hot and cold. We come to accept that as Ranger fans. I think that he's still in the mix to ultimately be the New York Rangers captain at some point. And I've always kind of floated the idea, first of all, he'd be my choice to be the Ranger captain. But part of the reason for that is I think if he's the captain, just gives him a little bit more of a sense of purpose, maybe a little bit more drive, a little bit more energy every single night. And maybe we finally get that complete total breakout season for Chris Kreider. I mean, he's always been a very, very good player for this team. But is he ever going to have one of those years where he's just the man every single night? I think maybe you slap the C on him. Maybe it gives him that kind of that incentive to do that. You know, that's just kind of my theory.
Talk to me a little bit about the health. I mean, Kaapo Kakko, how far away is he and some of the other players who have been banged up early this year?
Yeah, so the big two are Kaapo Kakko, as you mentioned, and also Ryan Strome has missed a good chunk of the season as well. Strome is on the COVID list. Kakko suffered an injury and was placed on the IR, but the Rangers are hopeful that he will only spend the minimum of 7 days required in the IR. And it's sounding like, you know, we're recording this Sunday night, it's sounding like that both Strome and Kakko could be back in the lineup as early as tomorrow night's game against the Calgary Flames. So that would obviously be a big help to this team because those are 2 of the top 6 forwards. Vitali Kravtsov at this point, that's a whole other saga in and of itself, but it doesn't sound like he's coming back. So the sooner these guys can get healthy, get back in the lineup, the better, because right now the biggest struggle of the Rangers, and I'm surprised that I'm saying this, but the biggest issue for this team has been creating offense, scoring goals, creating scoring opportunities in general. The power play has been pretty bad. I mean, let's just call it like it is. 3-for-24 just is not going to get it done. And you're basically missing 2/3 of your second line with Strome and Kakko being out of the line. So they've had to just kind of piecemeal it together. I think they've done a decent job with it and, you know, found other ways to win games. But yes, it will be a sight for sore eyes when both of those guys get back into the lineup. And like I said, it could happen as soon as Monday's game against the Flames. We hope that it is.
You mentioned Kravtsov. I was going to get to that, so why don't we do that now? How do you see this playing out, and what do the Rangers hope to get when this does finally resolve itself?
What I've been hearing is kind of the rumored, the appropriate price for him, or whatever you want to call it, is that the Rangers are probably looking at a second-round draft pick in exchange for Vitaly Kravtsov, which is kind of unfortunate because, I mean, I guess at this point you got to take what you can get because they're not playing him and they're obviously at odds with him. So really trading him is just not the only path you can go down unless you can somehow mend this bridge and get him to come back. But yeah, I mean, this is somebody that the Rangers just 3 years ago took with a number 9 overall pick in the draft. And we had the whole saga with Elias Anderson a few years ago. The Rangers ended up having to ship him out of town. And now it looks like the same thing is going to be happening with Vitaly Kravtsov. This can't keep happening. You can't keep swinging and missing at draft picks like this, especially guys that you take in the top 10 overall. So it's really an unfortunate situation. It's a situation where I don't really think anybody comes out of it looking all that great. I mean, Kravtsov didn't make the opening night roster, and yet the Rangers had guys like, you know, Julien Gauthier, who I kind of like, but the Rangers haven't really been using him. He's been a healthy scratch more often than not. Libor Hájek looks like he's going to be the eighth defenseman at best, and he's been, you know, a healthy scratch every single game this season. And I think a way that you could have made this work, if you're the Rangers, you just trade one of those two guys I just mentioned for, you know, either Julien Gauthier or Libor Hájek. You do it for, you know, 4th, 5th round draft pick, something like that. And just like that, you've now opened up a spot for Vitaly Kravtsov. And they didn't want to send Hájek or Gauthier down to the minors because they'd have to expose them to waivers to do that. But they're not using these guys anyway. And now you're at odds with somebody that you took number 9 overall. So to me, you know, placing one of those guys on waivers and trying to send them to the AHL, you risk losing them for nothing. But I think it would have been worth it for the purposes of hanging on to Vitaly Kravtsov. Or if that doesn't work, trade one of them. And then you've got a spot for Kravtsov as well. But Kravtsov, you know, he has not handled this ball either. By now, he would have been called back up because, as we already talked about, you know, we had, you know, Capo Caco out of the lineup with an injury, and we've got Ryan Strome on the COVID list. He definitely would have been called back up by now. So nobody handled it well, and it's a complete mess. And I think the only thing the Rangers can do at this point is look to trade him.
Your early impressions of the coaching staff so far?
Yeah, I like it. Gerard Gallant, I did call, not necessarily call them out, but I called him to question the idea of starting Alex Georgiev on opening night against the Capitals, simply because that's a game that, you know, the Rangers had circled on their calendar. We know everything that happened last year. We don't have to rehash all that stuff with Tom Wilson and all that. But yeah, I mean, that was a game that, you know, I assume every player on the Rangers badly wanted to go in there and win that game. They basically got run off the ice. And to go with your backup goalie on opening night, just kind of an odd situation. But beyond that, I think they've done a really nice job. I think they've handled the lineup pretty well. And Gerard Gallant said at his introductory presser, and it's something that he continues to kind of hammer home, he wants this Ranger team to be the hardest working team in the NHL. And I think the guys have really embraced that. You know, you watch these broadcasts on TV and guys get back to the bench and, I mean, their faces are all red and they're, you know, they're breathing heavy and trying to get some oxygen. And like I said, they haven't been scoring goals. So they've really had to grind out every single one of these wins that they've gotten. The 4-game road trip, you know, I mentioned that they won all 4 of the games. All 4 of them were basically 1-goal games. I mean, 2 of them had empty netters at the end, but for all intents and purposes, those are basically 1-goal games. And so I think they've kind of embraced this vision of, you know, we're not always going to win with talent. Sometimes it's going to take some grit and some determination. And there's going to be nights where maybe we're not even the best team on the ice, but we'll find a way to get it done anyway. The game against Toronto was a great example of that as well.
All right, John, why don't you tell our listeners and viewers where they could find your podcast and where they could find you on social media?
Yeah, so I mean, the podcast, you can find it anywhere you get your podcasts. And as far as social media, you can find me on Twitter at jcheck17. And then there's also the social media, the Twitter handle for the podcast itself, which is at @LO_NY_Rangers. Definitely give us a follow and check out the next episode of Locked On New York Rangers.
All right, John, thanks so much for joining us today.
You got it, Gil. Thanks for having me, man.
All right. Thanks again for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the biggest stories from around the league. And of course, I'll be back next Monday and every Monday with 3 of our local experts to discuss the biggest stories over the weekend from around the NHL. Now make your second listen Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Scott Cullen leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available on all platforms. I'm Gil Martin. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great day, stay safe, and thanks for listening.